Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, taking the ice cream cone of conversation, filling it up with the soft serve of great humour, sticking in a flake of friendship, and chowing down.
Yes! Best one you've ever done! The best one! That is Ed Gamble there. My name is James Acaster. This is the Off-Menu podcast. We run a dream restaurant, and we invite a guest every single week and ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish, and drink. Not in that order. And this week, the first episode of series 9 is
Paul Mescal. Paul Mescal, of course. Wonderful actor, James. Wonderful actor.
Phenomenal actor. One of the first. We all watched a lot of box sets, a lot of TV series, and binged TV a lot during the lockdowns. One of the first series that we did at my flat was Normal People. I was completely engrossed in it and completely engrossed in his performance. What a performance.
Sexy.
Yeah, you were unable to watch it.
Yes, because I'd already watched quite a lot of sex-based drama. Yeah. The first series of Bridgerton,
yes.
And Industry,
yes.
Both quite heavy sexual content. And there were a lot of people delivering parcels, a lot of neighbours walking past, and I'd already had to shut my blinds. And the last thing I wanted was to pop the blinds open and then whack on Normal People.
Yeah.
Or indeed, whack off Normal People.
Yes. Well, I will definitely make you retell that story to Paul when he comes in the Dream Restaurant. I can't wait.
That'd be great. It's a double whammy of having to say something embarrassing, yep. Which is also has the underlying sentiment of, I've not watched what you're most popular for.
Yeah, 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 which I can't wait. Well, I've seen him in interviews. I saw him win his BAFTA for his role in Normal People, and he seems like a very humble, very nice, down-to-earth guy. So I think he'll be okay with you not having seen it.
I think he'll be fine with it. And also, I've seen him do one of those Lad Bible videos where he eats different types of snacks.
Oh, that's good. I like those videos a lot.
Yes.
When are we going to do one of those videos?
We need to do one of those
videos. We need to, like, you try snacks from Kettering and I try snacks from Buckingham Palace where you were born. I don't know where you were born.
London.
Yes.
London snacks.
Yes, the London snacks. Town of London snacks.
But we, normal people might come up, but we're very excited because Paul Mescal's in a new film, James, called After Sun.
Yeah, really looking forward to this.
It's a stunning debut, apparently, from Scottish writer-director Charlotte Wells.
It's a coming-of-age story with a poignant, intimate family portrait, and the film debuted in Cannes, where it was the winner of the French Touch Jury Prize at Cannes 2022 Critics Week.
Very exciting.
That's no small feat.
That's no small feat.
I'm looking forward to this a lot. I'm looking forward to seeing the film. It does look brilliant. And
it's available on Mubi.
It's available on Mubi as well.
Go and get Mubi and watch it.
Here's the thing. I'm very glad we got Paul Mescal on the podcast.
Yeah.
However, if he does say secret ingredient, an ingredient which we deem to be unacceptable, we will kick him out of the Dream Restaurant. He won't get any dinner. Mm. And this week, the secret ingredient is Mescal.
Paul Park.
No. We had a conversation beforehand. And we said it was either going to be Mescal or Paul Park.
Paul Park.
Paul Park.
Both good.
Both good
but
answers.
We can go with mezcal if you want.
Yeah, I think it's an acquired taste. I personally can't really drink much mezcal now after me and you got whammoed on it with Professor Green.
Oh my God, we got absolutely whammoed at Test Kitchen, Santiago Lastra's Test Kitchen, before he opened the wonderful restaurant Cole. And here's how whammoed James was, Benito. Get your ears around this. I went to the toilet, James left.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got to wait for him to go to the toilet, because otherwise he'll make me stay. As soon as he went to the toilet, I was gone. Climb into my Uber, the front door opens. Where are you going? Fire! Drive! Get the fuck out of here!
I'm very glad you did that, because, oh boy, that was a big night.
Yeah, it only looked like it could get bigger if we had another drink there. Mm-hmm. It looked like this could turn into everyone staying up all night, and I could already feel my hangover headache starting, and I was still drunk. So mezcal, I'm quite happy to put mezcal as the secret ingredient, because it does bring back bad hangover memories for me.
I like it, but that's fine. It fits with his name, doesn't it?
Yeah, it fits with his name. I mean, probably highly unlikely.
We'll see.
But we'll see.
I hope he doesn't pick Pard Park.
If he says Pard Park, we might have to say to him, oh, now, Pard, we thought you might choose Pard Park. And
we nearly had to kick you out there for choosing Pard Park.
Yeah. Like, well, maybe you'll have a mezcal.
This is the off-menu menu of
mezcal.
Welcome, Paul, to the Dream Restaurant.
Welcome, Paul Mezcal, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
This is amazing. This is a dream come true.
Well, this is perfect.
Perfect if it's a dream come true.
You're
right?
In the Dream Restaurant.
Exactly.
You can make all of your dreams come true now.
That's the plan.
How many dreams that you've had have already come true, and how many do you think you'd still like to come true?
This is the main dream. Yep. This is the flagship dream.
Yes.
Good.
This is the flagship dream. Yeah.
It's good to be flagship dream. I've never been a flagship dream before.
I bet you have.
Yeah, probably have. But
I bet you're loads of people's flagship dreams.
Yeah?
The flagship is actually a reference to the Tim Key episode.
Listen to this.
Oh, yeah. That is.
Remember
good.
That.
You've outdone us already.
Yeah. I mean, I'm prepped and ready to go.
How do I not?
That's why I did
that's
this.
Very good.
Yeah. Remember?
You did that to us, and I thought, that's nice.
Yeah.
I thought you were just being nice.
Nope. I was referencing Tim Key's
episode. That's good.
Not realizing that after we record an episode, our brains just dump it immediately,
yeah.
Paul.
Yeah.
But that won't happen with yours. Don't you worry about that. Yours is going to be the only one that I save.
I always remember who ordered trifle. But that's about it. That's about it. I don't really remember anything else.
Well, so, Paul, don't give it away now, but if trifle is your dessert, then you can do the point to us and then we'll know exactly what...
Trifle?
Yeah. And then I'll be like, right, what layer do you want to be? And I'll battle everyone off. Thanks for listening, Paul.
I love it. It's my favourite podcast.
Yes!
Yeah, hands down.
Means a lot. That does mean a lot.
You've taken that in, haven't you?
We haven't had a guest come on and say that yet.
I listen to it all the time. It's such a comfort. It's fantastic.
This is my flagship dream.
Zed's flagship dream.
Yeah,
great.
Man, now all we need is for the cast of Saved by the Bell to come in here, and we've all had our flagship dreams.
Yeah, well, I feel like that's a bigger dream. For all of that cast
all of
to come through
come
the door. I don't think that'll fit.
No. And some of them aren't with us anymore, so that would be crazy.
Western power.
Yeah.
But, like, hopefully...
I've met Slater. Put that out there.
Yeah. Wow, I've not met any of them. It seems unfair.
Yeah, I have not either.
Well, bad luck, guys.
Yeah.
If they rebooted it, Paul, and set it in Ireland...
Yeah, or anywhere.
Well...
Any accent. You can do accents, yeah.
You can do any accent. Yeah. But I would like it set in Ireland.
Okay.
Who do you think you would play out of the original lineup?
This is I don't know. Saved by the Bell.
Wow!
I was just going along with your flagship dream and being
I felt that.
Yeah,
I really respected you for doing it.
Yeah,
and as soon as James went with a more protracted question, I was like, Paul's in trouble here.
Oh no!
What were the flagship TV shows when you were a kid?
Oh, I watched a lot of Winnie the Pooh growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would be a flagship dream. If Winnie the Pooh came in with Tigger, I'd lose my fucking mind.
Dude, have you ever been to the real 100 Acre Wood?
No.
You've got to go there.
Okay.
I went during lockdown twice. Two Sundays in a row.
Wow.
I went because it was so good the first time and I wanted to go back again. And then we went again. Actually, I went three times because I went when my mum and dad visited.
Three Sundays in a row.
Nah, that was like no, later on. It's a bit of a gap. But like, I went three times, and it is like one of my favourite places in the world now, 100 Acre Wood. It was my phone background for a while.
Nice.
You got to go, man.
I will go.
If you're a Winnie the Pooh guy.
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh, and then like Dexter, like the Cartoon Network stuff. And
not
then...
Dexter, the show about the murderer.
No, Dexter, the animation.
I know the one. Yeah,
that
one. Dexter's Laboratory.
Dexter's Laboratory. Yeah. And Ed, and Eddie.
Yeah, Ed, and Eddie.
That stuff. Ed, and Eddie. I'm pointing again.
Yeah. which character from Winnie the Pooh would you play in a live action remake?
Yes. Probably Eeyore.
Oh.
Yeah, stick to the sad stuff.
Yeah.
I guess you can really show your range with Eeyore, right?
Yeah, I feel like he's the dramatic center of Winnie the Pooh. I feel like I tend to play a lot of sad characters. So I feel like that would be the casting. That would be where I'd be.
That's what the internet would put out there when they discovered there was going to be a live action Winnie the Pooh. All the fan casting would be.
Yeah.
You as Eeyore.
I was in the Tigger group at nursery, so I'd probably take Tigger.
You were in the Tigger group?
Yeah.
I feel like James would be Tigger.
Yes, thank you.
I feel
like you'd be
Pooh.
Yeah. It's a great cast.
Yeah, he would be, actually.
Yeah.
Would
I do walk around at home with no trousers or pants on, so that's absolutely perfect.
Don't we all?
Yeah. With a little pig.
Oh, we're all pooing it.
We're all pooing it every now and again. I want to see that now. I want to see I want Spike Jones to do it like he did Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah.
And I want them to make it like that.
You'd be a great Tigger.
Well, you've done have you done live action? You've done Cinderella.
Live action.
Oh, yeah, just a little bit.
No big deal. Don't make it a big deal of it, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've done it. And that was like, that was in many ways live action and animated, because obviously, my character was animated to begin with and then live action.
It won Best Film of 2021, didn't it?
It was in the Oscars. It was in the Oscar montage.
That's the best bit.
Yeah, that's in the montage. It was in the...
Guys, we got the montage.
We got in the montage.
Nothing else.
Specifically me. I was in that montage.
Yeah.
Played at the Oscars. And then someone slapped someone and no one talked about the montage after that.
Oh, mate.
That overshadowed it.
Yeah,
it's the worst year to have been in the Oscar montage.
But headline initially was James A. Gunster features in the Oscars montage, and then what happened?
As soon as that slap landed, just everything changed.
No one cared anymore.
No.
But that was great. Did you see Cinderella? Did you watch it?
I haven't seen Cinderella.
On your watch list, though?
Yeah. It was number one film of 2021.
Yeah, it was good.
So, yeah, I just need to get to that.
Yeah, it's very good. Similar to Normal People, actually.
Yeah, I think it's in the same genre.
It is. Very similar.
Fantastical. Yeah, exactly.
We should talk about After Sun.
Yes, we should do.
Your new film, After Sun.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Indie film?
Firmly in the indie film.
But it's just won loads of awards today.
I just got nominated for 5 Indie Spirits today.
Amazing.
Which is...
Congrats.
Yeah, it's really exciting for like a small film to just help sit along.
So I always imagine that for an actor, the coolest thing is to be in a successful indie film.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's like...
Yeah.
Well, it's the films that I like going to see the most. So to be a part of one that is doing that to a certain extent this year is kind of exciting. Yeah.
I'm getting kind of like vibes from it. Like Lost in Translation, if it was a father and daughter. That's what I'm getting from it.
James is basing that on the press shot that's out in front of
The one photo on the table.
I read the blurb.
Yeah.
I read the blurb, which actually doesn't sound anything like
that at all.
But, you know.
But the photo, I would go with you on the photo that it
looks like the end of Lost in Translation.
Yeah.
Doesn't really, man. How old is your co-star in this?
She is 12. She turned 12 on set, and she's just like black belt actor.
Wow.
Like, she's amazing.
Did you turn up being like, I'm going to have to really take her under my wing here and talk her through the process, and then she was brilliant?
I didn't really think about it until I was like sat on the plane, and then I was like, what if she's bad?
Yeah.
What if there's like, because it's just pretty much the two of us for the whole film. But I didn't think about it until I sat on the plane, and then it was a long 4.5-hour flight where I was like, this could be rough. And then once we started working together, I was like, whoa. Like, it's the first time I've ever worked with a child, and they have this like access to like fun and play that I was, it's just really eye-opening.
When a kid is like really good at acting, do you reckon they have to like cram in as many films while they're a kid still?
Yeah, I like a friend of mine, like Saoirse Ronan, you like see that she has kind of navigated being like a child actor and all the way through to like being one of the biggest film stars in the world. So I don't know. I just like you look at somebody like Frankie, and I imagine she's on every list on the planet now, and just hoping that the industry looks after. It's like, but fingers crossed that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I would have turned up on set if it was just me and a kid and that was the whole film. I'd be like, oh, cool. I'm definitely like going to be in charge of it so I can bully him.
That was my initial plan. Yeah. And then I decided.
Then she bullied you.
Yeah, she bullied me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can talk about it on this podcast. This is a safe space. If you want to admit that she was a bully.
I'm working. Yeah, I'm going to give an exclusive that I was bullied on set by a 12-year-old. And she's bullying me to say nice things about her in public.
Like knocking on your trailer door. Mask out, get the fuck out of here.
You better say, right, read it out to me again. Black belt in acting, that's what you're going to say.
Yeah. What the fuck was that scene?
Would you consider yourself much of a foodie?
Look, this podcast, as I've said, is my favourite podcast, but it kept me up at night because I listen to people's menus and I'm like, wow, there's some fancy people eating some fancy food. Yeah. And I feel like that has started to happen to me in recent years, like eating fancier food. Uh-huh. So I'm going to say yes, but like on the cusp of being a foodie, but very much wanting to be a foodie.
You're taking the first steps on your foodie. Foodie journey.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's good. That's we like to catch people at that point.
Yeah,
yeah. This is actually the best point. You're not jaded.
Not jaded by a nice food.
You're not like goddamn Jay Rayner and his jaded palate.
Yeah,
he doesn't appreciate anything anymore. He now thinks that rubbish food is good.
Yeah,
he's gone all the way around full circle. Yeah, thinking the shit eclairs his dad brought home were nice.
I mean, shit eclairs are the best eclairs.
Fair enough.
So before you took your first steps on this foodie journey,
mm-hmm.
did you appreciate food or was it just like a just get it in?
It oscillated between like I played a lot of sport growing up, and a lot of that was just about getting food into you so that you had enough energy. But like a lot of my favorite foods are like comfort foods, like big portions of like food, like chips, like. And I
love that your first thought was right, Wendy. The size of what the food is. So,
size first.
Big portions of food.
Big portions of, for example, food.
Chips, and then potatoes.
The original food,
and then
chips.
Big hunks of meat.
You can't go wrong with that, to be fair.
No, it's a classic.
What sports were you playing growing up?
I played a lot of Gaelic football and rugby growing up.
What's the difference with Gaelic football?
And what?
And football.
Snooker.
Snooker. Well, Gaelic football, you can like pick the ball up in your hands.
Yeah.
There's a lot less kind of like jumping around and pretending to be hurt.
Well, the other sports in Ireland, you got ones where you fucking fling things at people's heads that could kill them.
Yeah, run around and hit each other with sticks.
Insane.
Yeah, it's like Quidditch kind of, except firmly on the ground.
Yeah, no one's got ideas above their station.
No. They're like, see that flying shit? That's not for us. Yeah, we're gonna keep it grounded. So yeah, it's like a kind of mixture between rugby and soccer, but it's like an amateur sport. But it's like Ireland's like national sport, and it's very kind of parochial, and you play for your parish and you represent your town, and it's all pretty hardcore.
Would you look forward more to pre-Gaelic football food or post? Because when I used to play rugby very briefly, I would very much look forward to my Mars bar and a Mountain Dew.
Oh, do you remember the Jaffa Cakes at halftime or the like fruit pass? Did you ever get like
not
sweets
for me,
at halftime?
I was usually subs bench for the whole of the first half.
Just munching on the Jaffa Cakes.
I'd get a little bit.
Just looking at a Mars bar going, I can't wait for that final whistle to go.
Daddy says, I can't do the final whistle.
Good game, guys. Why are you in that Mars bar?
Well, you got kicked out the team weeks ago.
We got orange slices at halftime.
I mean, that was like the budget version, right?
Yeah.
And then as you like, if you were like playing a final or a semi-final, it would be like Jaffa cakes, Mars bars, fruit pastilles. Fruit pastilles or fruit pastilles?
Pastilles, but I love...
Yeah, I'm going with pastilles.
I love fruit pastilles.
Fruit pastilles.
Like the band pastilles.
It's because I'm on my burgeoning like fancy food journey.
Exactly,
it was pastels before. Now it's pastilles.
Yeah.
I like that the first step on the foodie journey is simply changing the names of things that you were eating before.
Yeah.
Fruit pastilles.
Sheeps. I'm trying to think of other funny ones to do.
Lamb.
Oh, yeah. It's not pronounced the B in lamb. You've
got to pronounce the B now.
Well, we always start on the food podcast with the food podcast. Why don't I just call it that?
Well, it is the food podcast.
To be honest, it's because I just how I referred to it to people outside of this room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I don't want to say to everyone off menu, like, I assume everyone knows it.
Yeah.
So I'll say the food podcast I do with Ed. So yeah. I could have nearly said that to you just now.
That's also like a massive flex. On the food podcast that I do with Ed. Though, like, just being like, we are the
food podcast.
Like, you don't know,
yeah.
It's the food podcast.
We are the food podcast, yeah. Though. List the other ones. They are shit.
I can't.
Yeah, yeah, I can't. I think they're all pretty bad.
I listen to a lot of them. There's some good ones out there.
They're shit, Ed. We always start with still or sparkling water. Do you have a preference?
I'm going to not do either of those. I don't want...
This is rare.
I know. If I'm allowed to.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
Let's because, like, I've heard it all. It's like, sparkling feels a little bit fancier and it feels like a treat and I want to treat myself. But if I actually want to treat myself, what I want to go for is Mexican cola. I want that throughout the meal, the time. Like, Coke is my favorite thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's the cornerstone of my menu. Yeah. It's Mexican Coke. Like, I had it recently in, or not recently, like a year ago in LA, because they have it everywhere there. And I was like, this is eye-opening.
So why is it the best?
It's made with, like, cane sugar or something. That's the, like, difference in the ingredient. And it normally comes in a glass bottle and it feels a little bit special. Uh-huh. And it's... I don't know. I just love it. It tastes better.
I've never had it before, but people are like absolutely they're so into it.
Yeah.
It's got a cult following, this Mexican cola.
I'd highly. Are you like fizzy drinks people? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the other day, Ed told me not to drink fizzy drink. We were offered fizzy drinks at that Comic Relief photo shoot. And I said yes, and you went no. And I was like, you don't want a fizzy drink? You went, it's bad for your teeth, James. Like you were the first person who knew it. Yeah, yeah. You told me off.
It's supposed to be horrendous for you.
It's bad for you.
Yeah.
Did I say that? I didn't say that.
Yeah, Comic Relief photo shoot, you told me it is bad for you. And then I made fun of you because you smoke again now.
I don't. I vape now.
I'm trying to give up smoking.
Oh, you've got down to vaping. That's very quick.
I vape now.
Nice.
Tell you, you'll love this. I've been smoking a cola-flavoured vape.
There you go.
If I was a vapor, that would be my go-to.
Yeah. I've tried the cherry cola and the cola, but the straight up cola is... If they release the Mexican cola vape, though, you'd be into that, right?
That'd be... Like I would start vaping if they brought out.
Yeah,
would that make you quit smoking?
I've been able to give up smoking for periods of time, but I'm always looking for the excuse to start again. Mm-hmm. Like I'm always like, God, I hope something fucking bad happens, so I can just start smoking. So I'm smoking again. Which read into that what you will.
I'm like that with food as well, though.
Yeah,
honestly, like I'll try and eat healthily, and then I'll be like, it feels like a takeaway night.
Yeah.
What event can I hang this takeaway on?
Yeah.
Is it good? I'm having a takeaway. Is it bad? We're having a takeaway.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So something happened. I can't even remember what it was recently. Something happened. It was stressful. And then I thought, this is the perfect excuse to eat an entire tub of Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah.
And I was so happy walking to the shop. I'm glad that bad thing happened.
Yeah. Do you guys have addictive personalities?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm vaping constantly now. Yeah, totally.
Do you not miss cigarettes?
I don't, because I smoked for ages and then gave up for 11 years. And then for some reason, a few months ago, had a cigarette. In my mind, I was like, I think I'm just going to be the sort of guy who has one now and again.
Yeah.
And then I'll have a pack at my house. And then when people come over for dinner parties, I can say at the end, would anyone care for a cigarette?
That's so chic.
Yeah, it's so chic, right?
Yeah, I get
out. Obviously, that's not true because I put the pack in my house and 2 days later, I'd smoke them all standing in the garden in my pajamas. Like, oh God, this is not,
Winnie the Pooh style,
good.
No trousers on, no pants.
I was pooing it. So I had a pack clamp between my butt cheeks, just pulling them out one by one.
Yeah.
Let's go, boys.
For some reason, I'm picturing your penis as a cigarette. In all of this. A little smoking cigarette.
Same.
As well. Yeah, it's there as well.
How far is it burnt down in your mind?
Oh, not far, Ed. It's a big block. It's like one of those ones with those long sticks. Yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah, definitely addictive personality for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not me.
Not you.
Unless it's ice cream and sweets. And then anything with sugar.
Yes.
100%. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Anything. Yeah. I've tried to cut down on, you know, the desserts and stuff, but.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to cut down on that, like, what's life for?
Yeah, thank you. That's what I said to Simon Amstel, and then he told me something that made me feel stupid.
Which was?
That you've got to, if you're not in the moment while you're eating those things, then what's the point? And that you should spread them out. And of course, if you do eat too many of those things, life isn't very long anyway. And I was like, shut up, Simon.
Shut up, Simon.
It made me feel bad, so I went and bought a tub of Ben & Jerry's.
Yeah, you've got to.
This Mexican cola is coming out of the top.
Yeah.
What size glass is it? Is it...
I kind of want it from the glass bottle.
So you want it to keep the bottles coming?
Just keep the bottles coming.
Yeah.
Probably with each meal.
Uh-huh.
If we're at a dream restaurant, so my belly's not going to get full of Coke. So it's just going to be, like, as it's empty, just, like, have it there on the table. And I just like the glass bottle. But if it's sitting there for too long, I just like a glass of ice on the side.
Okay.
That I could just top up if the glass got too warm.
And you want the bottle before anything else?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it is your water
restaurant
course.
By myself, just sipping on a Mexican cola.
While you're waiting for the
beer. What about a big ice bucket with like loads of bottles in?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. Chic. And then you can just keep pulling them out.
Yeah.
Cracking them out
with my teeth. Yeah. Just like fucking.
Like Coors.
Yeah.
Coors Light.
Oh, not the band, the Coors.
They were never in an ice bucket, as far as I know. They've never been in an ice bucket together, and I think
right.
They were irrelevant by the time people were doing the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah.
So they never got a look in there.
Be a good album cover for the cause.
Doing the ice bucket challenge?
No, all of them in an ice bucket.
All of them sitting in an ice bucket. Jim with a big ice cube on his head.
It was alternative.
Yeah. Did you do the ice bucket challenge when that was a thing?
I did, yeah. Do you remember the, like, we had to, like, drink a pint of, like, crazy shit or like
I don't remember this actually.
No, it was like you had to like it was for charity. No, there was the cinnamon one. I've done them all. I've done the cinnamon challenge, the ice bucket challenge, but then there was this one that you had to like pour or like fill up a pint glass. I'm Irish, so it's a little bit we're a bit looser with our charity call outs. It's like we saw the ice bucket challenge, we're like, that's fucking tame.
Yeah.
And then a friend of mine did like beetroot, milk, eggs, crushed up garlic, like in a full pint, nailed it, and then you had to call out your friend.
Like a dirty pint.
Like a dirty pint.
And they chose the exact same thing. No, another pint that was disgusting.
You would have to make another pint that's disgusting, and then you had to be braver. Yeah. Like, so you had to be like, well, you're not going to be the coward that comes in and just does like a pint of milk and a couple of eggs, and you had to go above and beyond.
What a coward that would be.
Yeah.
What a coward.
What a coward.
What did you put in your one?
Fire.
Fire, just flames. Lit it on fire.
Seven human foot.
Yeah. I can't remember. I think there was definitely, I think the eggs is something that people just immediately go like, ugh, that's kind of disgusting. So that went in. I think there was some like carrots. There's some, because it's like bulky. You needed to show the glass and it looked like shit.
Yeah. Or like a foam on the top, like a scum.
Yeah. But I feel like that's the, like, that is peak, like, toxic masculinity. Just
totally.
Watch this.
Yeah.
Watch me inflict pain on myself.
That's the coldest. That's why I love
really
being a man.
Cool. Yeah.
Best thing ever.
Eat this. Problems
on bread. Problems on bread, Paul Mescal. Problems on bread.
Yeah, I always thought I'd be ready for that.
Yeah.
That was a very good one.
James is getting so good at this.
Though. Only when I know they've heard the podcast before, I really have to think in advance.
Yeah,
what do I do?
Yeah.
Surprises me as well, Paul, you know?
Yeah.
Got you that time, mate.
Yeah, got me.
So it's a no from Papa Dom's for me. Uh-huh. It's going to be a like sourdough. Do you know the restaurant Brat in Shoreditch?
Yeah.
They do this, like, I think
I know exactly what
you're
talking
about. The sourdough bread with the anchovies on top.
Yeah, it's so good. I'm so glad this has got a shout out.
Yeah, it's the best piece of bread I've ever eaten.
And they do everything in, like, the flame grill it and stuff.
Yeah, and it's a little bit burnt on the top. Yeah. And the saltiness of the anchovies. And then, I can't remember, do they give, like, olive oil and butter and stuff as well?
I think it's just all on there.
All
already,
on there,
yeah.
The butter, I mean, if you just get bread and butter there, the butter that is sent out is phenomenal as well.
I think I'd probably ask for the butter as well. Yeah. But it's because I wasn't a big like anchovies fan, but again, on my foodie journey, I've begun to accept it as something that I like in my life.
Yes.
So I just think it's a perfect bread course. And I mean, like why would you choose Papa Dom's over that? I mean,
there's a time and a place, right? But I mean, you've picked one of the absolute best breads.
Yeah, it's a great bread.
It's great.
That's a great restaurant as well.
Great restaurant.
There's no misses on that menu, I don't think.
I'd say you're pretty far along a foodie journey if you're shouting out Brat in the opening course.
Yeah, it's just downhill from here.
Yeah.
That's the start. That's where I'm at in my journey. The rest is just McDonald's.
It's the pint of carrots. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is...
Yeah.
It's always fun when someone says a thing I've actually had from a specific place. Very exciting. And that is the last time I had that bread. Yeah, it's impossible to eat that bread and not think, I'd have this on my dream menu.
Yeah.
But when you poke it, do you remember, like, if you poke it, it kind of deflates, like it kind of goes.
Do you poke all your food?
Just to check it out. Yeah. Just with suspicion. Just like, is it? Yeah. What's the texture? But am I right? Like, is it's like yeah, it just kind of puffs up, and then it goes like.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. It's like a flatbread that's all puffed up, like it's a delicious. Sort of pitta style.
Yeah.
Like
a fresh pitta.
Okay, so yeah, but then the other type of bread, so the bread and butter there at Brett is also amazing.
Yeah.
Because that's what I thought we were talking about.
Yeah.
I know that I've what had you both. Mean now.
I've had both.
Yeah.
They're both. Like I assume, like, I would love for the restaurant to make a mistake, right? Mm-hmm. They go like, could I get the anchovies and bread? And then they bring out the bread with the butter and they're like, oh no, sorry, I thought I said the anchovy thing, and then I get both.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think in the dream restaurant, I don't have to do that. Could I just ask for both things of bread?
Is that what makes it feel great, though? Is that they've made the mistake and now you get both?
Would it not feel great if you ordered both?
Dead right. No, I think it would be, like, if the plan that I concocted worked, I'd feel like a champion.
I tell you what, something similar actually happened to me the other day.
Nice.
Ooh. I went to Rovi, which is the Ottolenghi restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I sat up at the bar. I had something to do later, so I was like, I'm going to go for a solo lunch. Sat up at the bar, ordered a couple of small plates, and then they arrived, very nice. And then the waiter came over with two more plates and went, the chef apologises that they didn't have any poppadoms. And it was just all the bread they did.
Oh, that's the ideal.
It is ideal, but also it was a lot of bread pour.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like pita breads with tahini dip and then sourdough with butter. I was just sat there like, this was supposed to be a light lunch before I had to go to a meeting and I just had to eat about eight loaves of bread.
I'm trying to stay away from gluten.
I'm on a low-carb diet. And also one of the dishes I'd ordered was the celeriac shawarma, which has a pita with it as well.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not ideal, but kind of ideal. On a different day.
To be fair, I'd also had two glasses of wine, so obviously didn't care about the meeting.
Yeah.
I had a similar thing recently. I was in an airport bar, and I ordered a Bloody Mary.
Oh, why did you do that?
Delicious.
No.
I don't know whether your life is cool or really sad. Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what's really sad about that.
Just a Bloody Mary. I think
would you drink that in your pint challenge?
That I would like tomatoes.
You don't like tomatoes.
I have a fear of tomatoes.
Well, my story can wait. Let's hear it.
Sorry, no. You give me a bit in that joke.
I would like to hear about the fear of tomatoes, please.
Well, it's a fear of tomato, like Heinz ketchup and Easy Singles.
Yes.
So when I was used to go to a childminder after school, uh-huh. and she was lovely, but then one day she decided for a snack that she would put Easy Single out. Spray fucking Heinz ketchup on it, rolled it up and went, here you go. And I was like, no, thank you. I'd rather not have that. And she thought I was getting cheeky and then she slapped me.
Oh.
Like, it was actually pretty traumatic.
Yeah.
So then I told my mom and, like, I never saw that childminder again, but it has taken me a second to go back to Easy Singles and ketchup.
Man.
Ketchup, the cheap ketchup, I still can't.
Can't do it.
I can do like the kind of relishy stuff and Easy Singles. Like, I mean, like, that's just a shit snack. Like, imagine
it's a terrible snack.
Yeah.
Cheese and ketchup cigar.
Yeah, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Ooh, look at this. Have this.
Eat this.
No, thank you.
No.
Wham. Anyway, I also ordered a quesadilla.
Yeah, that's nice.
And he made me my Bloody Mary. Yeah. I haven't paid for it yet. Waiting. Some of the people order. They all get their food before me. I'm waiting there. I'm drinking my Bloody Mary while I'm waiting for it. I realise I've forgotten my order and I just left. Free Bloody Mary.
Very good. Is that your cocktail of choice?
No, but it was the morning. The so that it, yeah. in my head, that's a morning cocktail.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
Is it a similar story to the one I told?
Yeah, that's similar stuff. We got free stuff.
Yeah.
Mm. It feels like...
Huh?
I was brought some bread because of the podcast. Yeah. Very lovely gesture from the chefs at Ottolenghi's.
Very lovely
Rovi.
Gesture from the airport staff. No. I got my free Bloody Mary.
And you stole a Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
Is it stealing if you drink it in front of them?
I feel it's morally questionable.
In plain view. Mm. It's like your one, Paul, when you stole the bread.
Is also morally questionable. It's like I planned to get both of those things. Like it was a trick.
Yeah, and then you eat it in front of them.
Yeah.
And mine was like, you know, also I didn't feel bad because like he made four people Bloody Marys at the same time. And the other three, he was making conversation with them. He really got on with them. Yeah. He didn't give a shit about me.
No.
So I was like, that's what you get.
Serves them right.
Yeah.
That's what you get.
Yeah.
Now that's my Bloody Mary and you don't get the money. similar stories.
Yeah. Everything all right, mate?
Look, I got a free Bloody Mary. I don't know about you, but my life's great.
I think that's a great... Do you want both breads, then, if we...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the priority would be the anchovy.
You've ordered the anchovy one.
Yeah.
We've bought you over the bread and butter.
Yeah, by accident. Yeah, yeah, by
mistake. We've let you keep it and bought the right one out.
And I'm just sipping on my Coke, just like...
Yeah. Yeah.
Happy as Larry.
Oh, you're loving
it's
life.
A very good start.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm there mentally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Emotionally, I'm there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the feeling of getting that freebie while you're drinking your favourite drink. This sounds great.
And the bread course is always, I think, the most exciting because it's the anticipation.
Yeah.
It's like, it's
and you're hungry
about
and
to
you're
happen.
Ready to go and yeah, that first yeah, bite yeah, of bread.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Your dream starter. Here we go, the meal proper.
Yeah, so this is kind of in the comfort category of... So at Christmas time, my mum normally goes bananas and like loses the run of herself and fills the fridge up with stuff that like nobody in the family really eats and is like constantly sending my dad out for more things that none of us eat. And there's no space in the fridge, but there is one thing that she makes this... broccoli, potato, onion soup, which I know doesn't sound particularly, but it's just, to me, I would eat buckets of it.
Great.
I would literally go through it for a shortcut. And it's like one of the things that I anticipate most about Christmas.
Yeah.
Is this soup. It's like salty, hearty. And then like I'd have more bread. I'd have O'Donnell's brown bread with Kerrygold butter. And just be... I probably wouldn't even use a spoon. It would just be like spooning it off with the bread.
With the bread, yeah.
I know I'm walking into a tricky situation with the amount of bread, but it's...
No, but like you say, this is your dream. And, you know, if you want to put in the loophole of not getting full, we allow people to do that.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
I think at this point we're at a stage where any guest from Ireland who has not chose Kerrygold butter at some point is probably going to be in trouble when they go home.
Or not Irish, pretending to be Irish.
I get suspicious now.
When we got through that bread course with that Kerrygold, I was like, better watch your passport.
It's not looking good. It's not looking good for you, man. Yeah. Oh, it's okay, there's a soup course. Yeah,
someone's going to have to start queuing at the non-EU part of the airport.
What's the bread you just said then? Sorry, you were going to say talk us through
the soup.
I actually like getting talked through stuff. Yeah, so I'll defer to Ed's question.
So there's double cream.
Oh, yeah.
There's an hour talking.
Never have I seen him get on board with something like quickly.
Yeah, I'll take it. One bowl, please.
One ingredient in. Double cream.
That's it, is it? Great, bring it over.
Warm double cream.
Dipping bread into double cream and loving it.
With Kerrygold butter.
Yeah. Like,
dropping cream on my naked thighs. And stop Winnie the Poohing it, you're in soup.
You know, put out your cigarette dick with that cream. Be a little careful.
I mean, it would be the perfect thing to put it out with.
Yeah. Double cream.
Oh, no.
Throw it straight on the dick. Well, I had to do it.
Oh, Jesus.
You're just eating dinner with me and you just hear...
Oh, fuck.
Has anyone got a lighter?
Don't give it to him. Don't give him the lighter.
Not again. there's double cream. There's potato, broccoli, and onions, and there's probably some other stuff in there.
A stock of some sort, maybe?
A stock, a vegetable stock, I think. Yeah. But it's just pretty, like, it's a thick, hard, it's like, it's not a gentle soup.
Is there chunks in it?
Yeah, how chunky is it?
A little bit chunky, like the potatoes.
You know they're there.
Yeah, you know they're there.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not hiding.
I'd be very interested to hear what you think a gentle soup is.
A gentle soup would be like a Baxter's.
Yeah.
Or like a cream of tomato.
A broth to me is a gentle soup.
Yeah, or like a chicken noodle soup without the noodles.
Yeah.
Do you know that kind of brothy, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, chicken soup.
Yeah, chicken soup.
Yeah.
But this is like a...
This is like a meal. Like it's a full-on...
This is a soup that'll slap you in the face. Sorry to bring back bad memories.
I'm so sorry. How long has this soup been... family tradition every Christmas?
It's a new thing. I think it's one of those that, like, my mum tries so much stuff and 95% of it fails, but this is just one that has really worked.
I really feel for your mum in this situation, by the way, because she's buying new stuff every Christmas, trying out new recipes, and you're all just going, just make the fucking soup, mum.
She goes, absolutely. like buck mad, like goes crazy. Like she called me when I came back last Christmas. She was like the fridge was just full of the cheese. Like we not a big cheese family. Like I like a board of cheese, but she didn't know that a charcuterie board was called that, so she called it. Now I got you a shootery board. Yeah. And it's lovely. And she, like I love my mum dearly, but like pronouncing things is not her forte. It's
like Chicago.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah. My mother's appel, as you might call it. The apple.
The apple.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
I love it. What was on the
shootery
board? It was like some like brie. I'm not a fan of like the like stinky cheeses. Like brie's pretty like mellow, right?
Good, pretty mild. Good.
Like that's my go-to. Yeah. Like cheddar. I'm again beginning my foodie journey, so it's like brie, cheddar, little bit of relish.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
tons of crackers.
Grapes hanging out there, mate?
No.
No.
No, so that was a straight no.
Absolutely not.
No. No.
That sounds great. I love a Christmas tradition, like food that you look forward to each year.
And we don't eat it during the year otherwise. It's just a Christmas thing.
It would ruin it.
Yeah, it would. Yeah.
Do you foresee a year where your mum's experimenting so much that the soup
just
isn't
won't
there when
allow
you get it? You just won't allow it.
I'll be like, Mum,
what happens if you turn up for Christmas actually, and you look in the fridge? There's no soup there.
There's no soup. Well, I wouldn't want it to be in the fridge. I'd want it to be hot.
But it's probably starting in the fridge, right?
Yeah, probably you're right. But this year there probably won't be we're not going to be at home this Christmas, so there will be no.
Uh-huh.
There will be no soup.
Oh, I think you just realised that live on the podcast.
Yeah, I saw the joy leave your eyes.
I'm actually pretty sad about that.
Any enjoyment you were getting for being on this podcast just vanished.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm going to leave now
and talk to my mum. Do you see yourself making the soup?
It just wouldn't be as good. I've tried it once and it's not the same.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That makes up for all... Everything else that your mum has attempted. So at least, like, she's nailed this.
She's smashed it,
Big tureen full of it? Do you want loads of it or just the
I like,
bowl?
A little a bowl that I can just keep topping up.
Yeah. So next to the... You can have a bigger bowl
bigger
next,
bowl
next
that
to
I'm
the
just
ice
ladling
bucket,
in.
Grabbing a Coke.
Yeah.
Slamming in some more soup.
Just fucking teeth ripping off the caps. Coke in one hand. Like a pile of bread in the other. Smashing it into the soup.
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
What was the type of bread again?
It's like O'Donnell's. It's like a brown country style bread.
Who's O'Donnell?
O'Donnell, he's a good friend of mine. I don't know. It's just a brand of like supermarket brown bread.
I imagine
bread.
There's like a bloke called O'Donnell on the packet, but is there not?
No, there isn't. It's like a barn with like crops and stuff around it. He wanted his anonymity.
He's in that barn though.
Yeah,
right?
He's in the barn.
He's in there somewhere. Yeah. In the crops. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, where's Wally?
Yeah.
Where's O'Donnell?
If you find O'Donnell, you get free bread for life.
Yeah.
There he is.
I see him.
Oh no, just see what he's doing in the crops. Oh dear.
We're not getting O'Donnell's anymore.
I wish I never found O'Donnell. Oh no. That would be bad if that's what one of the Where's Wally's was. Got the whole page. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, Wally.
No, look away.
Oh, Wally, you've let yourself down.
He's Winnie the Pooh,
at least he's got his top on.
Yeah. That would be funny if Wally was just walking along doing his normal pose where he's just waving at you, but he's just completely Winnie the Pooh at it.
Throwing cream onto his, like, cigarette penis.
Cigarette penis?
One of the other characters just chucking a pint of double cream on him.
I think Wally would have a stripy dick, though, right?
He would. I mean, probably. Yeah. He has to have.
Yeah.
He has to. Or he has to have it matching his walking stick, one or the other. Who knows? Little curl Kirby at the end? A little handle at the end of it?
And glasses.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah, wait, look. Let's leave it up to the listeners. You tweet us. Tweet the great Benito. Let him know what you think Wally's dick looks like. Is it stripy or is it like a walking stick?
Yeah, well, I know a lot of artists listen to us as well. If you want to do a little drawing of what you think Where's Wally Where's Wally stick look like?
Where's Willy? How have we not said that yet?
Oh my God.
How did it take us that long?
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you.
Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you're up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Your dream main course.
My dream main course. This is the one that I'm most nervous about because I feel like it's too simple. But it is just the main course that I want is a spaghetti carbonara that I had in a restaurant in Puglia. That was just, I've always loved carbonara, but I've never had it in Italy. Like, it was always the thing that I would like get in like restaurants in Dublin and London. Mm-hmm. And it's different. It was just the most simple kind of perfect ingredients, the right portion size. The pancetta was just like salty deliciousness. And the restaurant that we were in was like this cave.
Oh, wow.
In Puglia with like sunset and bats were flying around. And I was like, this is pretty perfect.
Incredible.
Oh, man. I've never heard bats were flying around and it was perfect in the same
because they were like small bats and they were like kind of far away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They weren't
just going like, pancetta. They weren't saying pancetta either.
No. Massive sweeping down bats. Yeah.
This is delightful.
Paul, I don't know why you enjoyed this. We need to leave. Now, if memory serves, Joseph Quinn had a lot of food from Puglia.
He did.
Including pasta. Do you want to be eating your pasta dish with Joseph Quinn?
Because he can fight those bats off.
He can fight the bats off.
He couldn't actually in the end.
Spoiler.
That was his undoing. So that might be the end of your pasta course, holding him as he dies.
He could be playing outside the restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah.
He could
he could just come in for some pasta.
Yeah, yeah.
He sees the bats and he's like, oh, fuck, no, I can't be here.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
You know, I met Joseph recently and he's a legend. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'd like the rest of my meal to be by myself.
Yeah.
But because of the kind of serendipitous nature that we both wanted pasta from Puglia, maybe we just both checked into the
cave
dream restaurant at the same time. We're like, oh, whoa. Hey, yeah. Just for that course.
That's nice, isn't it? When you bump into someone and you both realize how long you want to spend together socially. And there's just an agreement, an unsaid agreement of, we'll just sit here and have a chat and then we'll both go and do our own thing.
And it's normally accompanied with like a nod. Like,
yeah.
That's enough. I think that's the sign of like being an adult. It's like picking up on the social cues to be like, this interaction has gone on for the perfect length of time.
It's over
and,
now.
And it is complete.
I think if you and Joseph Quinn had pasta together, a certain demographic on the internet would lose its mind.
Yeah.
Fair to say?
Maybe.
Fair to say that when you guys met for the first time, like you just said, all those people, without knowing it, suddenly got a feeling deep inside. They were like, something has shifted in the force. Something's happened. Oh my God. Has it finally happened?
When Joe Quinn did this podcast and we put the photo out, someone commented below the photo saying, this is too many soft boys for one photo.
Oh, how did that make you feel?
Great.
I
felt pretty good because I knew that I was the only one who wasn't soft boy.
But I wouldn't say any of you are soft boys.
That's pretty cool.
Would you like the pasta in a bat of cheese? That's a very specific reference to another episode.
You should do the double point. Oh, yeah. do the double point if you're going to say
that. Oh, who said that? Who said the bat of cheese?
Paul Chowdhury.
Paul Chowdhury. Yes.
Food in a bat of cheese.
And didn't he also say that he doesn't drink and then ordered a... alcoholic,
hot toddy. Quite recently, I think, from memory.
Yeah, he's a constant surprise, that man.
Yeah,
I think in honor of the food podcast, I would go for having a bat of cheese.
A bat of cheese. Yeah.
So, great. Which on this podcast is Pipistrelli de Halloween? So would you like a pipistrelli to Halloween?
Of course.
We can throw one in on the top because this actual pasta sounds amazing.
Yeah.
This sounds so good.
Yeah.
Is it because people get really annoyed as well when carbonara gets served here and they put double cream in it, right?
Yeah.
But it's not in Italy.
It's not. It's like maybe an egg yolk. Yeah. I just remember tasting everything. It wasn't like 45,000 calories. It was a really delicious,
fresh,
they just do food right there, you know.
It gets called like golden carbonara or something sometimes, doesn't it? Because it's just the egg yolks and stuff, but it's actually just carbonara it's meant to be.
Yeah. The golden carbonara.
In recipe books sometimes.
That sounds like a trophy in a Wallace and Gromit film. Or
the golden carbonara. Wallace and Gromit and the golden carbonara. Yeah,
yeah. Starring James Acaster in the new live action.
Yeah. Come on.
It'd be great in a live action Aardman film.
Yeah, could be a mouse or a tiger.
Yeah, that's it.
That's my range.
Do you want a man to come over and crack black pepper on it?
I'm not a big fan of black pepper. I think I just burped. Like, I'd probably go for more... We leave burps in, by the way.
Yeah.
We keep certain things out.
Yeah.
I mean,
we do a super cut of all the burps. At the end of each year, Benito puts them all together and they play the off-menu theme tune.
The last Irish person we had on was burping throughout and they all stayed in. Alison Spittle.
Oh, yeah.
That was...
She loved burping. Spittle's a burper.
Yeah, he's a burper. So no black pepper.
No, like maybe more Parmesan.
Yeah.
Just fire it on.
Yeah.
Sounds great. I love a simple pasta dish.
Mm-hmm.
So Joseph Quinn utilised the little loophole of saying that was a pasta course and then he had a main course afterwards. You're not going to do that.
I think that's my main. I'm very content with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you make any noises when you were eating this carbonara?
It was a lot of like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's good.
Would you use that in your acting? Say you're in a scene where you're eating an amazing meal. Would you imagine the carbonara when you're eating it? Would you go method with the carbonara?
It's like smell the fart acting. It's like, oh my God. Like, something like a really like important moment, like revelatory moment for characters. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm just thinking of pasta.
Yeah. Oh my God. Can I get more Parmesan? No, sorry, Paul. You said Parmesan out loud. Cut.
Yeah. I would think about like food memories if I had to do a sex scene.
Food memories.
Because I think about really delicious food and how I felt about it. But then that's not going to be sexual. So I'm not going to. Because I wouldn't want to be in a sex scene
thinking
and go, I'm going to have to draw from sex.
Yeah.
Because then. Worst thing could happen, and then that's it.
Yeah.
My life's over.
And then somebody's throwing cream on your penis.
I'm getting cream from all angles, and it's not nice.
Yeah.
So I think I would want to think of delicious food I've had, so that my face is showing my absolute pleasure and ecstasy.
Yeah.
But everything downstairs is completely chilled out.
Yeah, chilled. Yeah. It's just happy as Larry.
I was doing a sex scene, I have to say, can we get an ashtray?
That was one of the things that was deleted from Cinderella, actually.
Sex scene.
The mouse was having sex and then I turned into a human halfway through. So was,
they changed the PG rating.
Yeah. It was pretty bad.
Well, what was the reaction of the person that you were having sex with in the scene?
Well, remember, I was a mouse at the beginning, so it was another mouse.
Oh, well, so they exploded.
No. Luckily...
they died.
Luckily, I just...
to the director's course.
I loved her.
And then they cut that out from the film. They were like, it was too real.
Yeah. Not real.
But my reaction, my acting was so good.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, I was thinking of favourite foods while I was doing that scene.
Nice.
At the beginning, I was thinking of cheese because that's a mouse's favourite food. And then I was thinking of method. Ice cream when I was a human.
Method acting.
Yeah. I'm very method. We won't ask you about shooting sex scenes. I'm sure you've been asked it a million times.
I mean, I'm always thinking about food during sex scenes.
Yeah,
it's my...
Got it.
It's an exclusive. That's what I think about.
Right? Yeah.
Well, my next question was, do you twizzle or suck? But it was relating to the pasta.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Do I twizzle or suck? I haven't mastered the, the spoon fork technique.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I'm probably just dropping my head to the plate and going like just kind of shoveling.
Yeah.
And then kind of like sucking it in.
Yeah.
Inhaling it.
Yeah.
And saying, Oh my God.
A lot of talk. A lot of talk. The pasta hanging out your mouth.
Yeah. That's why I want to be alone for this.
Yeah.
Dignity out the window.
Turn your head away, Joseph Quinn.
Joseph Quinn. Back to back for this.
Yeah, exactly. Hearing each other murmur through each other's backs.
Passing a pipistrelle to Halloween over your shoulder. There you go, Quinn. Help yourself.
It's not real. It's not real, Joe. I'm so scared. Put the guitar down. It's not real.
Right, your dream side dish.
Yes. So, it's chicken wings, and it's from a specific place called Elephant and Castle in Dublin. But it's Elephant and Castle circa the 2010s. The chicken wings are not the same anymore. My voice sounded emotional there.
You've gone so deep into
this. I understand if you are emotional. There's a lot of places that I feel this way about.
They're just skimping.
Yeah.
They had it. Mm-hmm. It was there. The perfect chicken wing.
Yeah.
I was like 18, 19. It was like my first couple of trips into Dublin, like going out for a meal, chicken wings and chips. And it was just lathered in this beautiful buffalo sauce. Great. No blue cheese dip, no celery. Uh-huh. Like they were there, but I don't go for that. Nice. I'm just firing them into me.
Buffalo sauce is
it's the best.
So good.
Yeah.
Especially the first time you have it. You're like,
Yeah. And if I may, I'd have like the double fried chips, like the really crispy brown, almost burnt.
Yeah.
That kind of when it's been sitting in the oil for a long time.
Yeah.
And then just scooping up the buffalo sauce with the chips.
Yeah.
This is great. And if they come on a plate together, we're in Elephant and Castle, right?
No, they come in like there's a big basket of wings.
Yeah.
They do the half portions, and I probably will go for the half portion.
Yeah.
And then just like a little a round holder of chips.
A little holder.
Round holder.
It's kind of criminal, though. Do you know when you go to a place that you're like, I know what it is and I know what I want.
Yeah.
And then they've changed the menu or something, or they've just changed the amount of buffalo sauce that they put on the wings. And it's like the margins of that must be minimal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what they've changed? Have they changed the amount of sauce, or have they been buying the wings from a different place?
The wings are smaller. Yeah. There's less sauce. They're not distributing it properly over the wings at the top, so you're getting kind of dry wings at the top now, and the good ones are too small at the bottom.
Devastating.
Horrible. Paul, Benito would like me to ask you if you would still recommend that people go to Elephant and Castle in Dublin, because otherwise he's going to get messages and he hates the fans of the food podcast.
Yeah, I mean, Benito seems pretty jaded.
Yes.
Yeah.
he's the Jay Maynard of producers.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I feel like I want to help Benito out, but the truth is, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
And there is a responsibility to say that, okay, this is what I would say. Mm-hmm. If they go back to the good old days, go in your droves, fix whatever needs to be fixed, and leave Benito alone.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
But this is great power, you know, because this will get back to them. And maybe they'll change it.
Yeah.
And maybe people could go still now. Ordered chicken,
yeah,
and then must make sure you say to the staff, Could do a bit more sauce.
Yeah, that would be ideal.
A bit dry on the top.
Everyone's just saying, a bit dry.
And a bit small.
A bit dry, a bit small.
Yeah.
Mm. Just like Benito.
If they did change them back to the 2010s heyday, would you like them to be named after you?
I mean, that would be too great an honor.
Yeah.
I mean, I would name my firstborn after the wings. After them.
Not Elephant or Castle.
Both. Elephant and Castle Mescal.
You had twins.
Yeah.
Elephant and Castle.
But even if I didn't have twins, if it was just my first child, be Elephant and Castle.
Elephant and Castle.
That's all their first name. Yeah. That's not a first name in the middle.
Next child, Buffalo.
That kid would be pretty relieved they got called Buffalo.
Yeah.
They're going around with Elephant and Castle as well. On the day that we booked you for this, I walked behind you in the street.
When? The day that you booked
me. You did that with all the guests. Yeah. It's pretty weird.
Where was this?
Scope them out. Hackney.
Hackney?
I was on my way to go and see a gig at Earth, walking over there, and three people were walking in front of us, and it got to the point where my girlfriend and I were walking too close to these people.
Ah.
And I told her earlier in the day, I was like, oh, we booked Paul Mescal. I was excited about it. Told her. We're walking to the gig. We're too close to these people. We've got to overtake them. And then she goes, is that Paul Mescal? And I went, you're just saying, it's in your head, because I told you earlier about him. He's right in front of us. Oh, wow. And I was going to be like,
I should have.
We booked you for the podcast today, but I was like, I didn't know you even listened to the pod. So I didn't want to do that. And then you go, oh, yeah, cool, man. And then the next day, but it was like, guess who just cancelled us?
You've got to stop doing this,
I would have loved, if we bump into each other in the street, let's say hello.
Yeah, we'll say
hello. Well, I feel like if we didn't now, that'd be really weird.
Yeah.
Now that'd be mad.
I might just pretend, like, I'll do the thing that you said before the podcast started when you went up to somebody and they pretended to not know you.
Well, they pretended to know
me. Oh, we should talk about it.
Yeah.
Stanley Tucci. We've had the Tucci on the pod. He closed out of the last series. This is the first episode of this one. But I was in Atlanta on tour at the desk, checking into the hotel, turn round, the Tucci's there.
And I'd say it was a fortnight since we'd recorded the episode.
Probably
maybe
2 days. So I'm like, I can't believe it. But he's looking at the floor. And I go, Stanley! Like that. Like, he's an old friend. I haven't seen him. Stanley! So I can't believe that we're in Atlanta at a hotel. He looks up at me. Absolutely no. He's not acting. Yeah, yeah. There's no recollection.
There's no even desire to perform.
No.
Like, there's no, like, oh,
it's completely like, and I had to go in front of the whole front desk has stopped and watched this as well. Oh. And they know Stanley Tucci is.
Yeah,
they know the Tucci.
The Tucci, yeah.
They're like, oh, we want to check the Tucci in. What is this limey holding up the key for? And then you have to do the undignified thing of in front of loads of people who don't know the podcast going, it's me from the food podcast.
The food podcast I do with Ed.
Yeah, the food podcast that I do with Ed. And then he was very nice. They were it's like, oh, yeah, you guys, yeah.
Yeah, lovely. It was out of context, right?
So it was out of context. Yeah. He didn't expect to see me in an Atlanta hotel. Yeah. But then he did tell me to get some rest, and I hadn't told him that I was tired. So that did feel a little bit.
Did you get rest?
Yeah, I went when the Tooch tells you to get rest, you go and get
you
rest.
You do what you're told.
Yeah, you feel like if the Tooch thinks I'm tired.
You've got to go for a Tooch snooze.
The Tooch has seen me twice in my life. That's all. So if he thinks I look tired, then that means I must look significantly more tired than the fortnight ago when he saw me.
What if he says that to everyone when he meets them at the end? He's like, okay, get some rest. Nice to see you.
That's a power play.
Yeah.
That's a real power play. Imagine just everyone you meet, like, going and getting, like, Doritos in the shop or something. And you're just, like, chatting to the cashier and you're like, yeah, thanks for that. Get some rest.
I think if that was your thing, it would only be a matter of time before people started talking about it with each other and going, did he tell you to get some rest? Did he tell me to get some rest? Yeah. And you'd be found out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I was trying to make you feel better.
Thank you.
By saying that he said that, because I bet you look great, James.
Yeah.
Thank you. There was a certain actor I heard about who did a thing where they used to turn up at auditions and they would turn up a bit late deliberately.
Oh.
And then they would have a story where they had, on their way there, they'd fallen off a bicycle and they'd hurt themselves.
Yeah.
And they would say, sorry, that this happened to me on the way here. And they made the mistake of pulling it twice on the same person, who then was like, that's weird because...
I have it the last time.
I heard that. I heard you did that last time.
Oh,
and then they're like,
Can you imagine, though, the ground... You would just want the ground to open up and swallow
you. Yeah, yeah.
But serves you right.
Serves you right. Don't lie.
Don't lie.
So what was the benefit of that, though?
Apparently, it would almost make,
people remember you.
Yeah. But also, wow, you still came to the audition. You, like, fell off your bike and you had this thing, but you still came. This is a good guy.
Yeah.
And, like, so, like, kind of, like, endear yourself to them.
Because I guess auditions are all about trying to stand out in a sea of auditions, right?
Probably. Like auditions can be just awful experiences or great. And I don't think there's a way... I think there's like a weird alchemy of what happens in a good audition that is like a form of magic that I'm just like, I don't know how that happened. But most of them are... I hear it's like worse auditioning in LA. It's like, it is the thing that you see in the films where it's like everybody looks the same and they're all wearing the exact same clothes and they go in and they say, give me the money, or some sort of shitty line.
Yeah, Ed said, give me the money.
Worst month of my life. Learning so many lines. Went into one audition. There was a dog in the room. It fell asleep.
Oh.
Just watched a dog fall asleep as I was reeling off the lines.
Did you not learn the lines?
I'd learned the lines.
Yeah.
I'd learned the lines. The show's been cancelled since, which is always a win.
Serves them right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I get. I'm not casting my friend. Your dream drink. Now, we've already had kind of your dream drink that's throughout the whole menu, but have you got a different one?
Yeah, I like an alcoholic beverage.
Yes. Mm.
So this was actually tricky for me. There's like the classic, like I love a whiskey sour, I love an old fashioned, but there's one cocktail that I've had recently in the, do you know that new hotel, the Nomad Hotel?
Yes, I've heard about it.
It's like in Covent Garden, and they do this cocktail called the Sergeant Pepper, and it is just stunning. It's like in a little, like small little glass. It's jalapeno kind of tequila based, but with like coriander, pineapple, and it's like green and really cold and just like spicy and sweet.
Great.
Just keep them coming.
Yeah. I love the sound of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, this kind of stuff. Actually, at that Atlanta hotel, there was a guy, the cocktail waiter, he was incredible, the barman there. And on the last day, I just said, just make me whatever you want because you're really good. And so just like go for whatever. And he made me a similar thing.
Uh-huh.
There was tequila and like a jalapeno and pineapple thing.
Carrots. And
carrots and milk.
Yeah. Two eggs.
That's what you get in Ireland.
Yeah.
Make whatever you want. Oh my God.
This is for charity.
He filmed on his phone.
Yeah.
He got to drink it. And now you've got to nominate someone. The Tooch. Okay. I'm going up to room 7.
The Tooch comes down.
I told you to get some rest. Sorry, Tooch. You said you could cut out, mate. You're going to drink a bucket of piss. Yeah, but... I know, because I had a similar drink recently. I'm there now, as soon as you're describing it.
Yeah, and it's the perfect amount of spice that you're like it kicks your mouth around a little bit, but then you've got the sweet of the, like, pineapple. There is something, I think there's a bit of coriander or something in it.
I'm going to have to go and get one.
Sounds great.
They've also got a lovely bar in that hotel. It's like a little, like, library bar. Also, one of the honourable mentions was there. They have this burger there that I was like, it was really close to getting onto the...
What's in the burger?
It's just like there's like a mustard seed kind of like sauce that they put on over the top, but it's just like a perfectly cooked burger with bacon and cheese and this kind of mustard sauce that they have for both the burger and the fries that go with it. Actually, the fries I would love to have from the Nomad Hotel.
So that's on your side dish
that's
with the wings?
That's on my side dish with the wings, actually, with that mustard seed sauce.
Great.
Yeah.
Always good for a place to get a double shout out. I think, you know, that happens rarely.
Yeah.
Unless you're Anthony Head and everything comes from the ivy.
That guy loves the ivy.
Guy loves the ivy, which is crazy because it basically tastes like a Bill's. This sounds delicious, though.
Yeah.
This sounds
that
great.
Sauce sounds great.
So, yeah, and I'm not a big mustard. That's a new thing for me. It was so good. It's a nice compliment with the cocktail. And I would like that cocktail throughout the meal as well. Like, not just at the, like, I assume that's what it is. It's like you get the cocktail.
Yeah.
I think some people listen to the pod and think, what, I'm going to wait that long until I get a goddamn drink? When you said a cocktail from the Nomad, I got a bit excited. Benito, do you know why, Benito? Yeah, it's a Disney World thing. Because at Disney World, there's a place called Nomad Lounge at Animal Kingdom, and they do great cocktails. And Oh, it was good.
Do they though, mate?
It was delicious. And
they do great cocktails at the Nomad Lounge at Animal Kingdom, do they?
The Nomad Lounge, yes, in Animal Kingdom. You go there and you get some delicious cocktails.
Yeah.
It's a real night. It was one of the things that got recommended to us by Molly. And we went there and had some delicious cocktails.
Disneyland is spectacular.
Yes.
It is. I can't argue with you on that, and I don't intend to, but it was the most... I went there recently with, like, friends, and it's... You could just be there for days.
Yeah.
It's magic.
Yeah, it was life-changing. And mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to go back, and I will go to the Nomad Lounge when I go back.
To be fair, I had one of the best Manhattans I've ever had on board a ship at DisneySea in Tokyo.
There we go.
There we go. I sat at the front on Splash Mountain and regretted it.
Oh yeah.
I did the toxic thing. I was like, I'll sit up the front.
Yeah.
Soaked. I got churros after it though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you go on Splash Mountain if it was full of double cream instead of water?
I mean, it would probably change the consistency then? Of the ride. It would probably be like you just hit the bottom and just boom, and get stuck.
Or what if it was your mum's soup? A water ride with your mum's soup instead of water.
That would be gross because we'd get cold and get all bacteria-y.
Yeah.
You'd still have a little taste of it, though, wouldn't you? Yeah. I can't go on water rides, not with my dick.
Doesn't fit.
I go on water rides with my dick.
Yeah.
Got to wash all the mouth skirts off.
Oh, God.
We're getting to the dessert now. I feel like you're going to bring it home. You said earlier on you're not a cheese family, so that made me feel good about this. I know we're not going to go.
I do have a big sweet tooth. Like, it is... My cocktail is sweet. Mm-hmm. Like, even I would say buffalo sauce is kind of like... There's a tangy...
Yeah.
So for dessert, it's like a concoction. It's like two desserts that I've had that I make. It's like... Yeah. It's a dream thing that I haven't actually had, but that I'm... putting together.
Great.
And I was reminded by it. I flew across to America recently, and British Airways do this like chocolate fondant, like lava cake. Uh-huh. And it reminded, so I don't want that, but I want a similar, do you know those kind of cakes that like are barely standing up that when mm-hmm. you touch them at all, like,
yeah.
like breaks apart and like the chocolate oozes out. Mm-hmm. So that's the center of the dish. And then I want a skillet of like, kind of half baked thick cookie dough.
Yeah, okay,
that you, cool. So it's cooking on that, and the chocolate cake is quite hot and it's barely staying together. And then you poke it and fire on a load of double cream.
Yeah.
Nice to have,
nice to have
some callbacks for poking and double cream.
So the chocolate and the cookie dough is hot, but the cream is cold.
Uh huh.
And
when you said you had a sweet tooth, so I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
That is.
It's captain, my captain.
It's definitely the heaviest dish of the day. And I want a big portion.
Yeah.
I want to not be able to finish it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be, because dessert is my favorite thing. I hate when you go to a restaurant and people are like, will we do dessert?
Yeah, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it depends on the people that you're with. Yeah, like, if I don't know them that well, I'm fine. I don't want dessert.
You sold yourself out.
Like
Peter denying Jesus.
Yeah. It's exactly like that. That's what I was thinking as well, actually.
When the cock crows thrice. Yeah.
The skillet is a great introduction to the dessert, I think. Getting cookie dough in a skillet.
Yes.
Yeah.
It feels proper.
So you're putting the cookie dough in and it's cooking as you're eating it, but I don't want it to get crispy. I want it to be like, the texture is like, very soft and molten.
Mm.
And then, like, when you hit the cookie dough, it's just a bit gooey.
Yeah.
It's like when you get a good brownie. I don't want it cakey. I want it dense kind of, like, sticking to your mouth.
100%.
You know, I'm not in for the cake, brownie kind of feel.
Always so disappointing.
Oh.
When you get a cookie or a brownie, and you go
brittle.
You'd go for the bend on a cookie. You want that sort of gooey bend, and then it snaps. You're like, oh, what a waste of time.
Yeah.
Throw it out.
Total waste of time.
Yeah. Where's the best place you've had cookie dough? Because, like, I find, so a skillet, I know what I would do is that I would order a skillet of cookie dough very excitedly, and I wouldn't. I don't think I've ever been able to finish such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
But I find it very filling very quickly.
Yeah.
Obviously, one of the best things that ever happened to me, I've definitely said this on the podcast before, was in a Leeds shopping centre when my tour manager and I were queuing up for what we believed was Froyo, and it turned out to be a cookie dough stand.
That's the accidental thing again, though, isn't it?
That's perfect.
Because you've gone in with good intentions.
Yep.
And you can't help what's happened, so you just need to go with it.
Had to have the cookie dough, and it was warm. It was a nice slab of it.
Why did you think it was Froyo?
Because the way that they had...
Was it called Kodo and you misread
it? And also, we were deliberately walking around looking for a Froyo place because we were both pudding heads and we're like, we've had too much dessert every day, man. Let's just get a Froyo today and be good boys. We had a Nando's and the Froyo machine was down. Mm-hmm. And we were like, well, God, taste for Froyo now.
Yeah.
Walking around the shopping centre, saw this place. It basically, all the photos were of what looked like Froyo. Uh-huh. But it turned out, it's hard to photograph a cookie dough because it's quite two-dimensional and flat. So it just looked like the shadow of the Froyo.
Gotcha.
And actually what it was cookie dough with a massive soft-serve ice cream on the side of it.
That's perfect.
Paul, I think you were very generous there when you were listening to that story because you used the phrase got you when James said the shadow of the cookie dough, and I don't think anyone got that.
I didn't get it.
Did I say shadow of the cookie dough? It just looked shadow like of the Froyo.
Shadow of the Froyo.
Sounds like an album title.
The cookie dough looked like the shadow of the Froyo. So it looked
so
like
it was Froyo.
No, well, we thought it was Froyo, but it was soft serve ice cream. But that big mountain of soft serve ice cream, and then underneath it was this slab of cookie dough. But the way we saw it was just that wasn't a slab of cookie dough. That was just a shadow cast by the Froyo that we assumed was there. So when we ordered this Froyo, that's what we thought we were getting.
So what did you say to the guy?
I pointed at the picture and said, I'd like that. Because they were all called something that wasn't even, you know, cookie dough. It was like, you know, I have the Alabama, please. Or whatever it was called. I have the, you know, springtime joy. Whatever they were called. And then they
can't
were just...
see a cookie dough being called springtime joy.
No, probably not.
Depends.
And then they brought them out. And we were like, oh, we have just ordered cookie dough and soft serve ice cream.
Was the cookie dough warm?
So good. Warm, really perfect. Delicious. Walking around, very pleased with ourselves, while also being like, this is exactly what we didn't want to happen.
I feel like it's hard to get bad cookie dough.
Yeah.
So, like, I find it hard to answer, like, where I would get it from. Because I think cookie dough, again, when it's done right, simple ingredients, it's just delicious.
Yeah.
I think the key would be the chocolate lava cake.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't, like, Marks and Spencer's do a good one. That my mom, it's one of the other things. Mum gets right at Christmas.
Yeah.
That's a staple. I feel like I've really gone in on my poor mum.
You're trying to rein
in. Do you know the question I'm going to ask now?
No.
Based on that? I'm surprised it's not a question you would ask.
What?
What if your mum made a chocolate lava cake and in the middle was a soup? Oh, you touch it and the soup comes out. Well,
that is a weird thing that I didn't think of that question.
Yeah, I didn't jump to that. I appreciate you for attempting.
She's an architect if she manages that.
Yeah. But as in, they would be together, right?
You tap that skin of the chocolate lava cake
and it melts
into
the
soup.
That's disgusting. That's vile. Like, I don't want that.
Because
if it could be isolated, like if it could be like chocolate lava cake is in the middle and it like looks like it's all part of the same thing, but I'm like eating around and I'm like eating my soup, which I love, but I'm looking at the chocolate lava cake and I'm like, I'm going to be having you soon.
Yes.
So I'm like eating away.
Yeah.
And then I can lift, when I've finished all my soup, I can like lift the chocolate lava cake out, pierce it.
Yep.
It all comes out, pour on the cream.
Yeah.
Shovel it into my face.
Yeah.
But so just to get this straight, you don't want to touch the chocolate lava cake and then your mum's soup comes out and spilling out the
middle. Yeah, no, I don't want that.
Good question, though.
What if your mum made...
Thanks for that, James.
Something that was like, looked like a bread roll. So it's bread, a very thin layer of bread, and when you poke it, the soup comes out.
That was genuinely going to be my next question.
I had some, but I don't think I'm into this whole like foods looking like other foods because I've been deceived before. When recently we were at this like fancy dinner, like an awards show thing, and they brought out this thing that looked like I was starving. They brought out this thing that looked like an apple kind of salad, like little garnishes around it. And I was like, love apple.
Yeah.
And I made a mistake where I put my fork into it and I thought it was like, oh, it was poached. So it was kind of soft and put in, and it was pate. And I can't do pate. It's just like disgusting. And I was like, I was deceived.
Especially not surprise pate, right?
Yeah, nobody wants surprise pate.
And a whole spoonful of surprise pate.
No, and it sticks to your mouth.
Yeah.
And you're at like a fancy dinner, so you can't be like, what the fuck is this?
I just got an image of you sat there at the award ceremony, the only person enthusiastic about the food. Everyone else is so jaded, and they bring over that, and you go, I love apples!
I love apples. Apples.
I ate potpourri at a shrunken restaurant once.
I don't think we've heard this.
No, I didn't think of it until now when Paul said he's been stung in the past. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. That reminds me of when my entire family went to the Gurkhas together. Actually, sorry, I don't think it was Sri Lankan. But anyway, went to the Gurkhas.
Nepalese, probably.
Yes, yeah. Nepalese. Yes, that's it. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Went to the Gurkhas. And there was some potpourri at the end of the table. And I thought, as a whole family, actually, we all agreed we weren't sure.
But you had to test it.
What it was. And I was like, well, it looks delicious. I went in, had a mouthful, I went, don't eat it!
No! It's floral.
Oh, man.
I'm going to read your menu back to you now, see how you feel about it. Water, you would like an ice bucket of Mexican cola. Mm-hmm. Poppadoms of bread, sourdough bread and butter with anchovies from Brat. And mm-hmm. you'd also like the bread and butter bought out by mistake, and then they bring out the anchovies and bread.
Yeah.
Starter, Mum's broccoli potato soup with onion, O'Donnell's brown bread and Kerrygold butter. Mm-hmm. Main, spaghetti carbonara with parmesan from Puglia and, a little on the side, a little pipistrelli de Halloween. Side dish, chicken wings with buffalo sauce plus double fried chips from Elephant and Castle in Dublin, circa the 2010s. And the double fried chips you would actually like from the Nomad Hotel.
Yes.
Drink, Sergeant Pepper, also from the Nomad Hotel, double shout out, almost unheard of. Dessert, a skillet of half-baked cookie dough with a chocolate lava cake on top and double cream poured over. And then everything all erupts into each other. Yeah. And you get to enjoy it.
Amazing.
That is a good menu.
That's a great menu.
I'm very happy with that. I'm very happy that you... a lot of anxiety in the lead-up to this.
That's
me.
What we like.
Good. Yeah.
We like pressure. Our guests to be really on edge before they come in.
Yeah.
Feel nervous.
And breathe again.
It.
Here's what I'm interested in trying. The soup... Uh-huh. Which I guess I'm never going to get to try.
Never know.
Yeah, could pop over.
Yeah, come on
for
over.
Yeah.
And the cocktail.
The cocktail, yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're going to go to the Nomad, do the burger and the chips as well.
Yeah.
Do it together in the library bar. Perfect.
If you ever get invited over for Christmas, Ed.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess if that ever happens with any of our guests and you get invited for Christmas and I don't, I'm going to feel pretty...
No. You both are invited.
I can eat the cheese as well.
Yeah.
I'll get through that fridge for you.
Yeah, please do.
The first 10 minutes that shootery board's going down, I'm eating loads of cheese. I think we should fill this up with soup, actually.
My mum would lose her mind, though, if like more people came. We'd have to get another fridge.
Paul, thank you very much for coming to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Paul.
Well, there we are. What an amazing way to start the series, James.
Yes, a delicious menu, a wonderful guest.
Wonderful guest.
What more could we ask for?
The perfect guest.
Yeah, wonderful guest. He knew more about the podcast than we did. God bless him. That's what I love.
So friendly, so funny.
Yeah.
New as stuff. Is trying new foods.
Trying new foods, expanding horizons. And just like one of the menus that, if someone said to me, this is on the menu tonight, I'd eat all of that.
Absolutely.
I'd love it.
Fantastic stuff from Paul. Thank you very much to Paul for coming on. And thank you for not saying mezcal. Although, James, he came pretty close.
Tequila. It was pretty close. It was in the family.
Yeah.
You know, and after the record, we did say to Paul that mezcal was going to be was the secret ingredient. And he said they did a mezcal version of that cocktail at the Nomad as well that you can get. And he had to decide between the two and just went with the tequila one. So it could have very well been our next guest who got chucked out the restaurant. And I'm not sure what the reaction would have been like on that would have been definitely one of the days where I was very glad to be off social media if we kicked Paul Mezcal out of the Dream Restaurant.
I think just the reaction from him would have been bad.
Yeah.
To say his dessert that he spent so long thinking about.
It wouldn't be bad for me as well to not hear a dessert, because at least with Jade, it was the dessert.
Yeah.
So I got to hear, at least hear someone describe a pudding.
Yeah.
But if I hadn't got to hear that lovely description of a dessert, I would have been quite sad on the journey home tonight.
But thank you very much to Paul. We're very excited about the rest of the series as well. Just you wait and see who we've got coming up.
Yeah. And hey, if you loved that episode with Paul Mezcal, you need to get on Mubi and watch After Sun ASAP. I can't wait to watch it. I'm very, very excited about it. I haven't been... like excited about a film for a while, because I gave myself viewing fatigue during the lockdowns.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot now for me to be like, I can't wait to watch something.
Buzzing for a film.
Very much looking forward to
it. It's not called After Sun ASAP, by the way. It's just After Sun.
That's sequel.
After Sun ASAP is what I scream on every holiday I've ever been on.
Yeah, yeah. Ed is like a big tomato.
I'm a big tomato. I'd scare the shit out of Paul Mescal if he saw me on holiday.
You would. It'd be horrible for him to see you.
Running after him going, Paul, Paul! He doesn't recognise me. Get some rest!
Get some rest!
We'll see you next week for another Dream Menu. Thank you very much for listening. Bye-bye!
And when you sleep, dream of food.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.